Coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting alive from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth. We have to explain that reference here in a minute. And then survey the backyard. You got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It's time for your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At-Home Show. I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm David Bates. And
Michael Stevenson is sitting to my left. Honora is in the back. And we're ready to go for you,
easily
folks.
The fairest and most intelligent member of this troop.
Without question.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Yes, let's talk about the weather.
It's foggy, David.
It is foggy, and today is going to be, once that fog burns off, it's going to be a rather nice day. We are, if I can get to the right screen here, I'm clicking through it. We are looking for a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon.
Really?
After 4 o'clock. Yes,
darn.
But it will be only a 20% chance until that point. Will be partly sunny today with a high near 89 degrees. Did you hear that?
89.
North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour tonight. Partly cloudy, below about 70 degrees. Winds out of the north 5 to 10, and they will become light out of the northeast later in the
blowing
evening.
Blowing calories or less filling?
I'm not sure about that. We'll have to see how it materializes on Sunday. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 89. North winds 5 to 10 on Sunday night. 20% chance of showers. And that's kind of course, the
norm.
Every day, you know, there's always a chance. Now, I will say that depending on where you are, that chance could be for severe torrential downpours.
Yes,
I'm kind of weather centric, particularly when we have these chances of thunderstorms. Because while most areas, like here at Bates Nursery last night, we got 0.12 inches,
mm-hmm.
Almost nothing in West Bellevue and in Pegram area. There's one location that got 4.5 inches of rain in less than an hour, several locations that got more than 3 inches. And that's the kind of things that get my attention because, you know, those are problematic events for anybody. And so when you get that level of rainfall, it's just difficult to deal with. So
it causes crop failures. I mean,
it causes a lot of problems for a lot of people everywhere. So anyway, if you were out in that area last night in Bellevue, we'd like to hear from you to see what your take on it was. You know, there's no place for that much water to go that quickly. So pick up the phone and give us a call, 615-499-6690. And we'll talk about what you want to talk about. But as you see, the forecast for the week looks nice. There are no 90s anywhere in that forecast. And currently it is 72 degrees and fog here in the Music City.
All righty, Shelley, we will check on that. Michael, Shelley is telling us that the sound is off and she can hardly hear. Is that on her side or on our side?
Sound is off and she can hardly hear. Mm-hmm. I'll take a look.
Okay. That's what we have you here for. He's quite the guy. Mike, would you go to input 3, David Bates, at your convenience?
I would be glad to, Josh. Anything for you.
Because, you know, this is a family-oriented program that we do here most of the time. I mean, we've been... speaking of the family, a little guy's got his birthday today.
Yesterday.
Right? Yesterday was his actual birthday?
Today's the party. Yesterday was his birthday.
The festival.
I'm sure.
And this is two?
2 years old.
2 years old.
Now, he's not having a good time.
He seems
like he's very disappointed to be there at the Springfield Fire Department.
We took him there, and when he walked up the front door, all the firefighters were waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw him, he opened the door, and they said, "You want to come on in?" And he just walked right in like he owned the place. He went, they gave him a little hat, and he wore that. And then he was all fine which he was having a lot of fun. And then they opened the garage door, and his jaw hit the ground. They let him climb all over the trucks. He got to ring the bell. He turned on the lights.
And he turned the siren on?
Oh, yeah. They did all of it. Oh, and wow. He was just freaking out. So that was one of a thousand pictures that we took, but he loved it. He's fire truck crazy.
That is a great picture right there. So,
and his name is?
His name's Sam.
Sam, okay. Well, happy birthday, Sam. And I hope you got the bouncy house coming?
No.
No? Got a clown?
No.
No?
Why? Dude, no one's used clowns in years.
Why not?
Have you ever seen it? That's right.
I don't do spooky movies.
You should, and you'll understand why no one does clowns anymore.
I'm a bozo kind of guy. I remember when clowns were good. Don't you, David Bates?
Yes, but I also am aware that there are evil clowns. Some of them are not even wearing costumes.
This is true. All righty, folks, 615-499-6690. This is an open format program. We have our roots in the talk radio industry,
right,
and since we're doing this alive now, we require calls.
We got started back in the day in talk radio, back on WTN. We were on that station for 18 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we were on WSM for 3 years. After that, we had a little short break in between, but
a sabbatical, as it were.
Yes, a sabbatical. And hopefully we've got audio going out there. By the way, perhaps it was just her particular setup where she wasn't getting audio good and clear. We do remind you, We are available on Facebook Live.
Yes.
And we would appreciate it if you would share it with your friends.
Start a watch party.
Let's get some folks out there and try to build a little audience on this. We are also on our own YouTube channel, which is The At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. And you can subscribe there. That way you'll get notifications when we're live. We're also on the Bates Nursery Twitter page, and as all other Bates Nursery social media pages. And I even have it out on my LinkedIn page.
So
does Josh. When I share it, when I put it up there, he shares it. So yes. Got it there. So we're pretty much available wherever that you want to connect with us, and we'd love to have you.
Anybody that's like having issues with the audio, give it like 40 seconds for the
buffering.
Yeah.
We're buffering. Okay.
It's in there. Well, cable was plugged, just not all the way in.
Oh. You mean that's important?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. All righty, folks. Yeah, it's live. That's what we're here for.
Okay.
Who's in the hot seat? Download
the podcast afterwards if you couldn't hear the first part.
Okay. So if you think there was something really integral missed the point of the entire.
It was the finest radio program on in history of man.
We stalled long enough. We've gotten past the weather part. You can you'll be able to check all that out. We're going to bring Adam Chapman to the hot seat here today. Adam Chapman is the general manager here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. He's also extremely involved with everything going on at Earth Mix Garden Products. I will say a. Call him a co-collaborator. Adam and I have worked.
Like a co-conspirator?
Yes. If it was a crime being committed, yes. But we don't think it's a crime.
No.
We think it's a really good thing. So, and Adam will be the presenter / host of our Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp session. It's going to be coming out at noon on Thursday.
Thursday, yes, sir.
And you can check that out and pre-register for it by going over to batesnursery.com. And then there is a link in the middle of the page. Just scroll down a bit, Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp. And Nora got that up, I guess it was yesterday. And it looks really nice. You can click right there and for all the upcoming events, you can register. And when you register, it gives you the ability to set a reminder. So it'll go to whatever calendar is your favorite calendar to use, whether it's regardless of what it is. So you can set
even
that.
Even the puppy calendar? Puppies and kitties?
If you're into that, yes.
You got a problem with puppies and kitties?
I don't need a calendar.
Adam's
reminder.
Here. Let's talk. Let's talk to Adam.
As though I'm the one taking it off the track here. So welcome to the airwaves here, Adam, and thank you for being on the At Home Show. This is your first of all the years I've done this program, most of those years you have worked for me here at Bates Nursery.
Yes, actually, my hire date was 9/14/2000.
So we're coming up on the big
2-0. Exactly 20 years, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And this is the only job you have had since college.
Yes, sir.
So
that means he gets 3 weeks of vacation at the end, at the 20th year, right, David?
I didn't hear about that.
That's usually what happens, Adam. I mean, after 20 years, it's 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know.
And we'll a company car.
We'll see.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, in case you don't know, he is the self-designated troublemaker of the program, and he does a splendid job of doing that. By the way, a little bit about your background, Adam. You intentionally got into the field of horticulture.
Yes.
As I recall, you were in a number of plant ID competitions in high school.
I got interested in horticulture senior year in high school.
And you went where to school here?
I went to Hendersonville High School.
Okay.
Yes.
So you were pretty much born and raised in Hendersonville. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so I was in FFA, had the horticulture contest group, got number one in placed number one in Middle Tennessee, number two in the state of Tennessee. Still bothers me to this day.
who was that person?
I don't know who it was. I don't remember. And then graduated in 2000 and came to work here. And so I have my actual degree. It just says degree in agriculture on my diploma. It doesn't say anything else. But it is a concentration in landscape science and management is what it was. It started off as professional grounds management when I first started. Then it moved to something else, and then that's what it was when I graduated. We're just constantly moving around the curriculum. So,
and you also have a minor in soil science. Is that correct?
I don't technically do, but actually, I probably could have double majored. I could have had, if I'd taken maybe three or four more courses, I could have majored in plant science as well, or soil science, because I had so many soil science courses. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So you've came on board here at Bates Nursery, and I will tell you, He was a green kid, as good a guy as you'll ever meet.
Came to work every day.
Came to work every day. Always, you know, that hasn't changed. But you know, I have gotten to watch him grow into being the man he is today.
You're so proud.
I am very proud of him. And Adam is Adam. I would say. He knows where all the skeletons are buried around Bates Nursery. He has gotten to be involved in...
Got the next spot picked out for the next one, too.
In virtually every project that has come down the line, Adam has been there. So, and he's needed to be that way because I don't need to have... I don't want all that information to reside solely in me. So all of those things Adam knows as well. Not the least of which is soil preparation and the amount of work that he and I have worked on together over the last years in developing this line of products that we call Earth Mix Garden Products. Mm-hmm. So people are coming up, Adam, quickly on the fall planting season, and people will have different things they're interested in. There's going to be a fall gardening that people are interested in. There's going to also be other landscape projects coming up. You know, we're here officially in the middle of August, but fall will soon be coming up.
Before you know it. Yeah.
So what do people need to be thinking about as they come into this time of year?
Well, they need to be thinking about really what's most important to them in their yard. So I would imagine that a lot of people, particularly this year, are thinking about growing edibles, either shrubs like blueberries and raspberries, things like that.
And on that note, I'll pause you for just a second. Because so many new gardeners have been growing things, our Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp session on Tuesday will be hosted by our very own Terry Kevlin on canning.
Yes.
And so very those important. Of you who have not, who've had this great success, you got all this stuff and you go, we can't eat it all. Mm-hmm. That's what canning is made for. So I'll let you pick it back up from there.
Yes. So, you know, it just depends on what your priorities are. So, you know, usually you think of fall, you think of big trees and big shrubs and things like that. So, you know, that's kind of a different thing than vegetable gardening. So you want to use different products for those two different things.
Now, the one thing that can give people assurance on the Earth Mix line is that, you know, we really work diligently at making it a 100% organic produced product, so that no matter which product you're using, you don't have to have concerns about, well, what kind of chemicals have been put in there. We don't. There are no chemicals in there.
No.
The only things that are really added are, we do add sulfur to lower the pH for chicken litter that goes that comes out alkaline.
Chicken litter? What?
Chicken litter is a manure.
Is that like kitty litter?
If you had a lot of cats, I guess I can't imagine. I think I would rather have a lot of chickens, but it is the litter that they have grown on and they have pooped on, Josh.
Yes.
They have.
Yes.
No.
And this material, along with the bedding, you know, the shavings material, is harvested, and then we stockpile it. We screen that material and compost it, and it is used in our supernatural compost, one of the inputs in that. And we do add sulfur, elemental sulfur, which is OMRI certified.
Yep.
Cool.
So we use that.
And we also add the biological the mycorrhizae to it as well.
So. Guys, mycorrhizae.
I'm picking on you a little
and
bit.
And humic acid.
Yes.
That's but, what you always do,
well,
Josh.
That's my function in life. But to see this operation now, folks, you need to come to the nursery to see it, because when you pull into the main parking lot, you can see where the production area is out there. And it is something. I mean, and we see it early on Saturday morning. It's an amazing process to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been fortunate this year. There's been a much greater interest in people growing their organic gardening and getting ready for that, and so much so that we have the area that we used to have paved in the back. We have in fact put a better surface down. We had already resurfaced a part of it, and now we've gone and resurfaced
pretty
a much larger
it,
area with concrete, so that we can double our supernatural production, which is an integral product. And are you playing show and tell,
Josh? Actually,
Josh?
This is our culprit, ladies and gentlemen. We've discovered what the audio problems were, and Michael has diagnosed it, so we have...
The snail's gone.
We have taken care of that for it.
What'd you do with him?
He's somewhere around.
He put it over there by Nora. Right. So I
want to make sure he's okay.
I didn't kill him, no.
Okay.
All righty, folks. But now we've got it up and running and everything. But it is an interesting process, and it's fascinating. And when David talks about, through the years, he's talked about the composting portion of it and what you see. And you know, when you come out here on a cool morning and they're turning the product, the steam
has
that
a lot
comes
of heat
off
to it,
of it, it's really neat to watch, and it's part of what you can see out here.
And you know, you just use what nature gives you naturally, and what the process we do in the compost production is, we have a specialized machine that is a compost turner. It doesn't do anything else. It takes this compost, this mixture of these specific ratios of the same inputs each time. That's really what makes our compost different than what others produce, in that we have a very strict recipe of specific inputs that we put in there every time. So
it's consistent.
Every scoop you buy, every bag you buy, it's all the same. And we believe that that's what it takes to have reliable, consistent growing results that come with your gardening efforts. We also want to be able to make it as easy as possible for new gardeners. We don't want it to be difficult for people who are seasoned, but particularly for people who are just getting started, you want to take as much of the guesswork out of it as possible.
Right, which is, you know, why the name... The nomenclature is good in that aspect, because, you know, the what we used to call Earth Mix, which is now the whole line of products, is called Garden, and so the name says it all. You can use that as a raised bed, just straight like it is.
Doesn't require any added anything.
Now, eventually, the vegetables will use all the nutrients most of the nutrients that are in there. So you'll have to come back in a month or 6 weeks and, you know, supplemental fertilize. But as far as right at the beginning, it's ready to go. You can just put it in a 4x8x1 foot bed. And what's great is the way we sell it, the size scoop that we sell it in here in bulk, you know, one scoop is perfect for a 4x8x1 raised bed. It's perfect amount. So,
or 2 3x6s by 2.
Yeah, however you want to do the math. Yeah. I'm not.
But I mean, it's right, and it's very convenient to be able to buy it in bulk. I mean, that's amazing
The only thing you give up by buying it bulk, it doesn't change the constituent analysis of the product. The bag materials has been run through a screening process, so it's much more homogeneous as far as that. You know, you run your hands through it, and there's no differential in it. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have the ability to screen even bulk materials. That comes as an additional
cost,
charge. Yeah. But as far as what you were going to be
for what you're doing it for,
need to have it screened. No, it's not necessary to do that. Let's talk for just a moment, also, Adam, about, you mentioned the nomenclature, the names that we have mm-hmm. picked for the products. Another one of the products that is see really great results out of is a product called Landscape.
Yes.
And as the name indicates, it's for use in landscape.
Yes, so it has a history because when I first started, the only product we had was Earth Mix or Garden, and that's what we had, and just in bulk, at least when I first started. And you saw a need, and I saw a need that, you know, we were like, you know, we have these inputs we put into this product, and what if we just took the soil out and made this mixture? Because a lot of people's soil is, you know, decent, but it does need that boost to make it a little better so that the plants can take root faster and start to do better. Mm-hmm. So we made that product. We called it premium soil conditioner, I think, at the time. Yeah,
and we also had premium topsoil blend. We had a lot of these three-word name products that were so just a little much. So it's been a lot more clean, in particular for folks who are gracious enough to sell our products elsewhere. It makes it a lot easier to communicate what product you're talking about. Yep. So Landscape tells you what you want to use it for.
It's right,
for
and that's landscape. Primarily what it was. You know, it was used for when we first made it. So, and it's been one of my favorites to use at my house and to recommend to anybody that's going to be doing trees and shrubs and things like that.
There's probably no better thing that you can do as you are getting ready to plant new plantings is to do proper soil preparation. Yes. If you want to ensure the future survivability, which the future survivability completely is rest on the immediate survivability.
That's
so
true.
If you don't get those soil,
don't forget the past survivability though.
Well,
that's assumed.
You're already at that point or beyond it slightly. But the survivability of when you first get it in the ground and getting those roots established, giving it a nutritive a mixture to get the roots into.
Right. And I always like to tell people it's good because you're mixing in something with the native soil so that the plant can already kind of get used to what is going to be available to it once it gets outside of the hole you've dug.
Adam, what we do is we use a wheelbarrow or a 5 gallon bucket and we take the soil out of the ground and then we add the landscape for it. And it works really easy in them. If you've got a big wheelbarrow, just
you can
turn
mix it right there.
You
can
do it right that way. Take it where you want it to go.
Do it on the ground beside the hole, either one. Yeah, those are both good methods and both work really well.
But if you get to clean up after that, you can't leave that just that.
Well,
that's
what they make a rake for, Josh.
Huh?
It's what that sort of rake is for.
But that's not. Your project manager is different than my project manager.
Okay, so you want to talk about this.
Okay. Now, what we've had, I've got a couple of things. And again, as I talk about it, when we come to the nursery on Saturday morning, usually you have to make a little pit stop up there by the bathroom. And you walk through. And today I went down the Japanese maple aisle. And this one caught my eye, David. And I believe you described it as a harp strings.
Yes,
it is amazingly beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Fall color is great. I mean, the one knock on it, I will say, is that it has a tendency to go through reversion. So it will send out stems that are just look like Acer palmatum, just a regular.
Like sucker growth?
Similar to that. It reverts back to its original.
So you have to keep the pruners.
Yeah.
Does it come from the base or from the limbs? Or where do you?
It could be from anywhere.
Yeah, a sucker growth technically comes from below the graft, where these can actually come out.
It's reversion.
It's reversion where it's coming out above the graft. So somehow in the genetic process of developing, there's some code in there that's not holding true all the way through. Okay. So some of the old parent is just slipping through.
Right.
And that's what reversion, difference between reversion.
It's like growth. Uncle Ernie. Yeah.
Uncle Ernie's, see that we've got some euonymus here. And euonymus are one of those things that reversion is a common occurrence on. The variegated euonymus are notoriously bad about getting a green limb here or there in there. So it will require pruning those out. And you will see that we've got all Monrovia plants out here today, if you notice that. And take a minute to talk about what you've got out there in front of you, Adam, and to give folks some idea. Right.
So we have a couple of camellias here. I believe they're April Remembered, I believe is what those are.
If I don't forget.
Mm-hmm. And so those are great evergreen for shade, part shade. They bloom at an unusual time.
And I have those in my yard that are under next to a fence, underneath a cascading. There's hemlock that grow up above it, so they're in a perfect spot. I planted them probably, how long have we had those? Maybe 5 years now?
I think so. Yeah.
I planted them the first year they were available. Of course, you know, hardy camellias have only become widely available since about that time, maybe a couple of years prior to that.
I'd say probably 10 years, maybe.
But they have grown incredibly well. They are 7 feet tall now.
Wow.
And they, in the springtime, are absolutely covered with flowers. What makes them so good compared to some of the older varieties of camellias is that they do bloom in the spring, so typically you get beyond the frost damage. Many of the older types, the Yuletide Sasanquas are plenty hardy, but they don't start blooming until December,
right?
And so consequently,
camellias, is the bloom, does it have an overwhelming scent or is it just pleasant?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
I don't know if you notice closely on the shot there, that one camellia in the foreground there has buds on it already. So those are the buds that are forming
for next year.
So that is a good reason to not trim
Until after they're done blooming.
And that kind of applies to almost everything that blooms, is trim it after it blooms.
If you trim it
before it blooms, it may not bloom.
All right.
There's another connection there.
Yeah. So we have some other things here. So we have the euonymus you mentioned before. We've got Silver King, Golden Euonymus. They're great for color, evergreen. You know, euonymus itself has issues.
And if people who plant them severely may have issues, you might need to attend a couple of euonymus anonymous meetings. If you get carried away with them, they just at know that it doesn't make you a bad person.
The EA meetings.
Yes. You just have to be careful about that.
Now, below, right at my feet here, I don't know if you can see it in the camera, but there's Abelia right here.
By now, Abelia later.
Yes, Abelia later. I think this one is Silver Anniversary. I'm not sure. But there's, I don't know, when I started here, there might have been 3 varieties of Abelia, but there's so many now.
40?
I don't even know now.
I have no idea.
Variegated. They're so tough.
And the good thing about them is that they're a great-looking shrub, even when they don't flower. And those are not what you call a profuse flower producer, but they have very attractive foliage with the variegation on there.
Right.
And that's true with many of these cultivars, many of which, frankly, are fairly subtle. Yeah. They're nuanced kinds of... You had to go, oh, yeah, I see that one has a slightly wider margin, or it's more white-looking and not so yellow or golden-colored. So there's...
Right. Mostly it's botanists that would be interested in the the minutiae of differences between them. But and behind them we have these variegated English hollies. This
gorgeous
particular one is a male, so
berries.
No berries on that. Now the female varieties are bigger.
Right.
So like
this is the pollinator
for
that.
Pollinator for those, yeah. So if you want berries you have to have that. And then right in front of me here, I've got the Feeling Sunny Deodora Cedar, which is a great. This particular variety is almost a ground cover. It really spreads. It's
low mounding.
Low mounding, yeah. Yep. There's also one called Feeling Blue, which is more of a blue green.
Which was the original discovery, and that was discovered on it,
genetic mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these climbing roses over here, and Joseph's Coat, which I think is a lot of people are familiar with, which is the multicolor,
gorgeous,
gorgeous rose. This yellow one, this one's called Smiley Face. That's nice. It's a new variety to me. So both are climbers, both are roses. So take that with what you will. They can take a bit of work to
this emerald colonnade holly that's over my shoulder. Yes. Here now, this is a topiary form, a three ball. Right. Poodle of it. You also will find those in a pyramidal form.
Right.
It is amongst Japanese hollies fairly unique in that it is one that actually retains its foliage all the way to the bottom.
Yes.
Where that was a real problem for a lot of years, and they weren't particularly vigorous growers. This one has conquered all of those obstacles.
Yeah, it's a nice variety. It's really surprised me. I'm because I've been in the industry for 2 decades now. The Ilex crinata,
which is what a Japanese holly is.
Yes, as a species, are generally underwhelming in their. You can have issues with them, but this one's done pretty well. I do like it.
Now, you mentioned there's a topiary form. Now, David, that it looks like that in the spaces between the balls, there are no stems or cuttings, it doesn't look like. Now,
well, that's because they've been cleared off.
Yeah. And it's just barked back over.
What they will do, they'll take a single cutting and allow it to grow up and stake it to a stake. Mm-hmm. And then they will begin to allow... They'll keep the stem cleared off, and they'll allow breaks to form at specific places mm-hmm. that they want them, and then they'll start trimming those. And so that's how they're able to make them where they appear to have been manufactured. In fact, they've been grown.
Grown that way, right. And it takes time, which is why those topiaries are more expensive. So
this plant was probably 7-8 years old, would you guess?
I would venture to say that I would not be surprised if it was that
old. The other topiary thing we have to show is a little gem magnolia that's behind Josh. And we've got one flower that's just beginning to open in the top. You might be able to see mm-hmm. that. But
it's on a trellis as well.
Yes, and that is a cultivar that is suitable for espaliating because it doesn't have quite the vigorous growth habit.
Words again.
No FCC.
It has the ability to be able to keep it better within bounds than most of the southern magnolia.
Yeah, it's a dwarf variety.
It has smaller leaves and
smaller blooms.
Smaller blooms, yeah. But it's a prolific bloom producer. Yes. Bless you.
All right.
And very fragrant.
Very fragrant. Well. Like yeah, so, you know, those are all great choices. I'll take a moment here to talk about Bates Nursery and Garden Center and let you know that, of course, Adam will be talking about the Bates Botanical Boot Camp coming up here in
5 days.
I know you're on pins and needles.
Yes.
But go out to the website, batesnursery.com, and you can register there. You can get a reminder there. He'll be talking about that. Terry Kevlin will be talking about canning on Tuesday. You're going to want to catch that as well. In the meantime, we've got, for Bates Rewards members, and you know who you are, we had 25% off all Monrovia plants. So everything we've got
in the studio. A quarter off all the Monrovia stuff?
Everything we've got in the studio this morning. I had a question from one of the newsletter subscribers. Is what exactly is a Monrovia plant? And so they had not made the connection that this is an actual brand, a grower of plant material, of which Monrovia is by far our largest vendor of that. So
yes.
So for a limited time, you can come out and get all those Monrovia plants, of which I would say maybe 50% of our inventory is Monrovia. Mm-hmm. So we have, they have,
and they're usually in that green pot. So you,
they have the green banded pot that says, guess what,
Monrovia
in there. So they're easy to spot. So come out and check those out. With be it any of the shrubs, extensive list of perennials. Also, all those are 25% off. And of course, we recommend using Earth Mix Garden products for all your plantings, and it it takes a lot of the guesswork out of having success. And you can be successful even in the middle of August. And to be sure, the cooler temperatures and additional rainfall are helping things out a lot. So we invite you to come on out and see us and see Adam and the entire sales crew out here today, because we're going to help you to get the right plant in the right place the first time at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. A couple of other things I want to remind you
of. Please.
Best of Nashville voting is going on now, and we appreciate you taking the time to vote for us. So go to the NashvilleScene.com, and the Best of Nashville voting tab is on there. And I will point this out to you. It doesn't, it's not a negative thing, but you know, we're not paying to advertise you to vote for us. We want you to do it because you actually think we are. So if you think we are, we'd appreciate your vote. Also, I have a another category. It's over in the media and politics section, where the best blog, and if the weekly blog that I write, I would love to have you vote for that as well. We did place second last year in our first time out, so I'm hopeful that maybe we can take a shot at the
number one
at the number one spot. So check that out over at NashvilleScene.com. And of course, Honora has a great lineup coming up of all of the BNBBC, the Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp series coming up throughout the fall season. And you need to go online to BatesNursery.com and check that out. So come out and see us. We're a mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike. It's just minutes from Rivergate, Opry Mills, Nashville West. It's worth the drive no matter where you're coming from. And we're open until 4 o'clock today, 9 to 4, Monday through Saturday. So we've been beautifying Nashville since 1932, Bates Nursery and Garden Center.
See Bill Hayes out there watching. We see Myrtle's watching. Pam Dukes, Chowning's watching. Miss Bates is watching. Kay Matthews is watching. Susan Cook Ragsdale's watching. If you're out there looking, just give us a shout. Yep. You hit a like and do some other things.
Start a watch party.
Yes, Earl Clover's out there. He said it sounded like the mic was only coming through one mic.
So, well, I'll explain it to you later, but it's fixed.
It's fixed?
Okay. Oh, it's been fixed for a while.
Now, where's the slug?
He's down on the floor somewhere.
Oh, okay. All right, 615-499-6690. Now, Adam, this is another one that caught my eye back
Shishi
there.
Shishi Kashira.
It's stunning.
The story behind that, there's another one, and I'm blanking on the name, but there's two. One is, in Japanese culture, is considered, that's the male, I believe, and there's a female lion.
Right.
They're both lions, and it's, you know, it's good luck and good favor and good, I think it's, they're considered guardians, basically.
To have both,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the picture doesn't do it any.
No,
it does
it's
not
awesome.
Do it justice.
Yeah, it really
I mean,
is awesome.
It is the leaf form that's on there. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see out there. And there's a bunch more of them out there. Now, you were talking about the harp leaf with fall color. Does it turn orange?
It's kind of an orange gold color. Yeah, it's a vibrant color.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I think so much in Japanese maples, people get lost. They think
blood
Japanese
good,
red leaf, maybe. Yeah, blood good. That's the only one they know. Mm-hmm. And
crimson clean, maybe.
And even of when we're at our peak selection, we might have maybe, 40, 50 varieties.
Right, and that just scratches
and
the
that's,
surface.
That's just, you know, that's just the ones that we really find to be the better ones to choose from.
Right, for Middle Tennessee. Yeah.
And to be sure, if you're interested in Japanese maple, you do need to take a moment to really consider the spot
placement
that you're going to put it in. Yes. While that, if you have an Emperor 5, it might be a lot more forgiving to be in a more sunny, hot spot.
Emperor and Blood Good.
It's Emperor
Sherwood
1,
Flame.
Not 5. I don't know where I got 5 from, but anyway, Emperor 1 is
Yeah, so
I skipped 2, 3, and 4. I don't know where they went either.
They're at their survivability.
They're inconsequential. We don't worry about them. So those can take more sun. Generally, what I tell people is, if it's a full leafed variety, so if it's Ace or Palmatum, it can handle a little more sun. It's not the same full sun, but it can handle a little more sun. If it's a dissectum or a really, really cut leaf variety,
the lace leaf type,
you've got to be really careful. You can't put it in
eastern exposure, or they need to at least be where they get shade from a structure or a tree or something in the afternoon hours. So you've got to take a lot more care in making sure it gets in the right spot. The sun won't kill them, but it'll just make them look rough.
Ragged.
They'll be ragged.
Mr. Will gets a little ragged this time of the year just because of the way that the sun tracks around the house.
Good practice to do. If it's too rough, it's just simply strip all the leaves off of it. They'll push back out before fall, and you'll have wonderful lush foliage on it again. And then when you get the change of colors, as many of the Japanese maple varieties do, and I think that's one of the most overlooked qualities.
Certainly.
That you have.
So you don't put them out by the above ground swimming pool.
Not recommended,
but I have. I do have one near my deck on my swimming pool. So
now, Josh, you were awakened. Speaking of swimming pools, you were awakened to a surprise this morning at the Carey Proving Grounds, right?
We had a little. When you have a pool, it's maintenance. There's no such thing as no maintenance.
That's correct.
No. But the filters, they tend to get a little cloggy, and you need to clean them out. Well, there was a technician that cleaned the filter last night that may or may not have tightened the clamps on the hose.
Technician. Now, can you be? Is this like a service that you hired to come in, or is this how did this person gain access to your?
They got the screwdriver and went out there and did it.
It's just like a random person that came by and did it.
I'm not naming names. I'm just not going to go here with this.
I thought that was the point of all this.
Did a great job, cleaned the filter,
Wonderful.
Hooked everything back up. But it seems that one of the clamps just may not have been
tight enough.
Well,
too tight.
Or a gremlin. It might have been that. It might have been the same
snail
that got out there, because we have those in Smyrna as well. But there was only about 18 inches of water in the above ground pool this morning.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
It's an expensive mistake.
Where did it go? Did it evaporate?
The next door neighbor's yard is very well irrigated this morning.
And and chlorinated, I would imagine.
No, we use a salt generator.
You also have an above ground.
That's correct.
And is that an event-free zone for you? I mean, you never have issues at all?
I would say that it's a daily struggle and battle to get to use it about an hour a week.
I mean, I would say
that it's about 20 hours of work for 1 hour of enjoyment a week.
You get a lot of use out of your pool. I'm telling you.
How many years has it been since you've been in your pool, Josh?
Oh, I've actually had to get in it.
To clean?
No, I don't clean at pool. I've got technicians that take care of that for us, and water quality experts and stuff like that that do that. But the last time I jumped in, I hurt my back, so I'm kind of just one of those things.
I'm going to guess that you have to do a cannonball to get in, but if that's your preferred,
I think it was the Nesty Plunge was more of a. It would be a, if you can remember that, folks.
My pool is constantly the ice water challenge. That's what my pool is, because it's sits north of a clump of three huge trees, and it rarely gets direct sun. So
it's great on a hot day.
Oh, on a hot day, it's awesome. But the rest of the time,
but all those trees change that pH and everything, and they can mess. That's
acorns
wonderful.
Uh-huh. And, yes.
And tree frogs and
yes, I have plenty of those.
Okay,
yeah,
and snakes. Oh my goodness, life's troubles in the above ground swimming pool living.
Just the way life is.
By the way, there are certain tapes out there that claim that they work underwater. Those claims are not necessarily 100% true. Okay.
Luckily, I haven't had to try that.
There's a certain, let's just say, limber type of patching compounds, and it comes in sprays and liquids and tapes that you can put on the bottom of a John boat. Didn't work for me at my house. Okay, so
I have heard anecdotal stories of it actually working.
So it looks like an amazing product, the spray, and I mean I believe it, but the clear variety of the tape
didn't work.
No. You had to go fashion the old fashioned 2-part epoxy,
and let's take a moment. A diversion from the pool.
You got me all fired up now, David.
Adam's going to have to get out of here in a minute. But we want to
He's got work to do.
We do take a moment to talk about Earth Mix Garden Products, and we've mentioned it throughout the program this morning. And it's the brand of soil mixes that we have that we really work hard at making it 100% organic, sustainably produced, and it's done so right here locally in Nashville, Tennessee. So for all of those who are purchasing it, no matter where you are, and it is available all over the Middle Tennessee area. We're really appreciative of all of our friends, and I want to give a big shout out to Jim Wallach, who was in yesterday, who came in. He drove down from Louisville to pick up a few bags. He needed to have some, but we've got customers Bloomington Valley Nursery up in Indiana and Greenfield Plant Farm. So, you know, and Padayo Garden Horticultural Center over in West Tennessee. So no matter where you go, it's the same great products, and they're made right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And, of course, we have a great selection of folks right here in the Middle Tennessee area. We invite you to get out and support those folks as well. So a lot of them. For the complete list, just go to earthmix.net and click on the Find Earth Mix tab. And if you want to see the complete list of all the products we have, well, just go to the products tab, and it will give you that and give you descriptions of the various products and what their uses are. And Adam gave us a really complete description on them. And in case you need a refresher, that's where all that information is, right there over at earthmix.net. Remember this: success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earth Mix Garden Products. And Adam, I want to thank you for coming in this morning and imparting your wisdom and your patience and working with us here.
Enjoy that 3 weeks of vacation next year. Yeah.
We'll see if I get it. I don't know. We'll see.
I haven't
got the 20 years yet.
Okay.
He's already knocked out a couple. This was the imaginary trip to Ireland this year, wasn't it?
Yes, we were going to Ireland last month, and that obviously didn't happen for.
So did you do things kind of?
We did. We did have an Irish dinner one night on vacation at home.
Haggis.
We didn't do haggis. We did shepherd's pie.
Okay.
So that was had a couple of Guinness.
Shepherd's pie is just cooked haggis, right?
Well, it's mashed potatoes and lamb and beef peas.
And yeah.
What part of Ireland were you going to?
We were going to fly into Dublin, and then we were going to, you know, do the sights there, and then go west to Killarney, and then drive back around the.
My older sister lives in Tipperary.
Okay,
so it's a long way to get there.
I've never been, so
yeah. He didn't get the reference.
I know. It's a long way to Tipperary. There's a song that goes with that.
Well, I'm not 1,000 years old like Josh, so
that's true.
I'm not the oldest in the room.
No, but you know, age is not always a chronological thing.
This
Josh.
Is true. Okay,
it's completely mental. It's all attitude. Yeah. That's age.
Sometimes I have the attitude of a
physical nature to it too. I can tell you that.
Sometimes I have an attitude of a 80-year-old, and other times it's less than that. So, anyway, thanks for coming on this morning,
thank
Adam.
You for having
me. We appreciate you being here, and of course, you can come out and see Adam today and the entire staff here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. I invite you to do so. We are here till 4 o'clock today, and also remind you, all Monrovia plants for Bates Rewards members are 25% off. And if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm not a Bates Rewards
member. Why not?
It takes all of 30 seconds to sign up. Doesn't cost anything. All we ask is you give us your name and your email address. You will be entered in to receiving my newsletter that I put out once a week. We don't share your information with anyone. And if you decide at some point that you don't want to receive it, you can merely unsubscribe. You don't have to mark it as spam. There are some who do that. That's a personal rub with me. That they sign up for it and then mark it as spam. You know, just, you know, you can unsubscribe, and I'm cool. You know, we all get a lot of email these days, and you need to have the easy option to unsubscribe, and it's both top and bottom on the page. So you can do that should you choose to. Otherwise, you know, I try to talk on there about
everything going on in the garden, mm-hmm. be it soil preparation or the season ahead or whatever that is timely. And I've been known to get off topic a little bit, kind of like this show.
Yeah. Now, speaking off topic, would you like to go to Input 3? Because, I mean, I want to bring this up because, I mean, I brought this out as our I send out one on Thursday. We usually hit a couple of things. But last week we talked about phlox. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Phlox from the Enterprise version of the Star Trek. He was a Denobulan, and he likes...
Denobulan,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's such a nerd.
Oh, man.
I'm going to say, I don't think that's Phlox subulata. I think that's more of a flowering plant.
He likes exotic animals. He was the Denobulans. You need to watch it because I mean it's a very good character.
I have never watched a single episode
of Enterprise.
No, I never have.
Actually, folks, if you are a Trekkie or a Trekker, and I prefer to be a Trekker, I will probably get pilloried for this, but I view Enterprise as the best television series that they did. Just behind the original series.
I'm a next-gen guy, actually.
I'm a next-gen guy, too.
Have you watched any of the Enterprise?
Is Enterprise the one that has Anson Mount as the captain?
No, that's the new one. Okay, and that's not bad either. This was the prequel. It was on the old UPN network for a period of time, and it just never really got its...
Where is it now?
It's on Netflix. You can find it there. I'm sure that it's going on. But the interesting characters, including the best-looking Vulcan that's ever been created, T'Pol. And, I actually love that version of it.
Perhaps I'll find a spare moment and watch an episode or so.
There were more episodes. I mean, you got all kinds of neat stuff going on. I think you would enjoy it too because it predates by several hundred years the original series. So.
Oh, so this is a prequel?
Prequel, man.
I did not know this.
All right, that makes it a little more interesting.
Now, when you look at their technology, is it noticeably less advanced? There's no teleporters or anything like that.
That would be the transporter, by the way.
Okay.
But you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, so. I did. Okay.
Does it look like the 60s?
So let me ask
you. It's actually, the production quality is quite dead.
So
but it does
let
not,
me let me rephrase mm-hmm. my question, Josh. Did they have transporters?
They have shuttles.
They have shuttles.
They are developing
They are developing
the transporter technology. So.
Okay.
God, do you want to be the first person to try that thing out?
No. I'm going to send old Bow Wow through probably a couple times to make sure that...
Actually, Captain Archer has his dog on with him as he goes. Captain Archer, if you were a Trekker or a Trekkie, you'll know that Captain Archer was the first captain of the first starship, and it was called Enterprise. They're not even in the Starfleet. They're not even in...
Starfleet at this point, right? Nah. It's just a bunch of rogue... astronaut.
He's a star Viking.
No, the Vulcans are kind of a little something going on with the
so
Vulcans.
So where does this fall in with the First Contact movie?
Well, just way before First Contact.
No. That's the one where the Vulcans show up and they teach him how to do the star drive.
No, the Vulcans did not teach him how to do the star drive, and it's called the warp drive and warp engines and warp fields. By the way,
see, when I have a spare moment. I've been watching for the last week or so, whenever I have time, a program on Netflix called Connected.
Yes.
And it's quite an interesting, very informative mm-hmm. Program about how the connections between everything, and it's more of a scientific-type program, which is the kind of programs that it's very well put on. So
I watched Conniger with Sam Elliott. Old Western.
Sam Elliott is a favorite actor.
I'm going for the Sam Elliott haircut. Is what I'm
just need to work on that big
and stage. The voice.
Right, drop it down. How many do we need to go? Get some Marlboros. I mean, and
I get that and a lot of whiskey. That's what they always told me in radio. You want to make your voice better? Smoke 3 packs a day and drink a fifth of whiskey. Okay. We got a text, by the way, if we're done.
Yeah, because we're about out of time here. We're running up against it here.
I don't know who this is
Watch
from.
Enterprise.
I don't know who this is from, but it says, question, anything special have to be done to plant rose gardens on water edge facing water of waterfront property? Protection from wind, moisture issues, soil prep.
Well, moisture issues is to be the first thing that I would address. Roses tend to like deep soil. And they also tend to like soil that drains really well. So if you're putting it on a waterfront, and I, of course, I don't have a photograph of it or anything to know how close the proximity is, but if in fact you
hopefully it's fresh water as well, I would think that
roses do not like salt water sprays. If you happen to be asking that question from a coastal area, you need to think about putting some space in between the roses in there. But otherwise, you just need to be mindful of making sure that you have an area that is at a sufficient enough elevation and have a soil mix that drains well enough to be able to provide the proper amount of drainage. You don't want water that's draining from some other area into where these roses are and then
down
into
the
lake
or river.
So you need to be mindful of that. That's the
lots of
sun is very important. So a lot of that's going to have to do with your grading, how you're dealing with the water that actually comes into the area before it arrives at the spot where you're planting or planning to plant the roses. So
they just texted again. They said it's fresh water, obviously, in raised beds.
Awesome. Okay, well, now, T-type roses, they might even spread them out a little bit more.
That's never a bad idea with hybrid tea roses, simply because they like really good air circulation. Yep. And this is among some of the more difficult area to grow hybrid tea roses in. So if you're trying to grow those, you probably already know that it takes quite a bit of dedication, spraying, a lot of daily picking up of leaves and removing dead branches, that kind of thing. Even if it's a raised planter, depending on how that's constructed, say if it's out of timbers or whatever, if it enables water to be able to infiltrate and percolate through or be wicked up, you need to be mindful of that. So if it's a concrete raised type planter or something, then you wouldn't have that issue. So it's just a matter of getting good soil mix and maintaining best practices for growing roses, which for anything other than shrub roses means you're going to have to be regular about spraying and even more regular about keeping them cleaned and picked free of dead leaves and that kind of thing.
But if you're going to go with the shrub type, just put them in the ground and keep them cut. I mean, that's probably going to be okay for you, I would think, because they're ready to roll. All righty, folks. We are coming up on the end of this edition of the At Home program. But, David, I had a question for you. Is a bonsai plant usually a good idea for the average homeowner?
I'm not going to say that it's not. They're not any more difficult to care for, really, than other plants. If you are a person who has good sense about plants' needs. Now, most bonsai plants are, unless it's a tropical, are going to be for outdoor, like a patio use. Mm-hmm. So, and due to the nature of the restriction and the selective pruning of the a root system, they don't exist in very much soil, which right. means that they have very special needs. That they might need watering twice a day if it's really hot weather, or you might need to offer them
Let's
a little
say
bit
we're
of,
keeping it in indoors, and the one that I saw the picture of, it almost looked like that the euonymus, or the one down here on the end here, it looked like a broadleaf, and
camellias are right. not unusual to be done as bonsai
okay.
either.
That's what looked very similar to it, but it was sourced from a big blue box, and it's designed supposedly for the inside use. And I'm just not, I just don't know. I mean, I guess the first rule of thumb with a bonsai is that you do not want to buy it from a roadside stand. That would probably be the first command.
You wouldn't do it
because you'd go out there.
Well, I'm a guy who enjoys going to Mexico. There is a guy who does bonsais that I see that sells them out of the back. He has a truck that I would really love to. He does a really nice job. So that's my. But I don't know of anyone in the area who is doing a similar thing. I personally would not have any problem buying that, but I do have a level of confidence in my horticultural ability.
Your experience and stuff like that.
But got a bit of that, but not so much more than anyone else. If you have a sense about how to care for anything, you can care for a bonsai. You just don't have the luxury of going on vacation for 2 weeks and not leaving anybody.
Going to work, even, possibly.
Yeah.
All righty, folks. That music means that this edition of the At Home Show is finished. Subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah.
Share it on Facebook. We'll be here for you. Go out there, like the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you tuning in this week.
Do the podcast wherever you get the podcast. It's called The At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates as well. For Michael Stevenson and Honora and David Bates, I'm Josh Carey. We thank you for being here, and we will see you next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock for The At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.